This is the Reverend Christy Hoard from St. John's Episcopal Church in Pensacola, Florida. Thank you for tuning in to our podcast, St. John's Talks, a collection of sermons, interviews, and speaker events here at St. John's Episcopal Church. I hope you enjoy.
In the name of one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. So quite a transition from the excitement of entering the church to the end of the gospel reading. And if we think about the time as we celebrated outside when Jesus entered Jerusalem to the gospel reading today, it was about a week. Hence why we call this time Holy Week. Now it's challenging to think, we have this man Pilate, who is a leader of the area. Now, he's not Jewish, right? He's a Roman. And he says, I haven't found anything wrong with what he has done. So my court, in other words, can't punish him. And then he takes him to Herod. So Herod would have been over Pilate, in a sense. And Herod says, oh, he can't wait to meet Jesus. Now, we have to remember, this Herod is the same one who was very curious about John the Baptist. And he says, I don't find anything that this man has done. So Pilate brings them back. But already they're mocking him, right? They say they put this fine robe on him. And in a way, it's like, well, it's okay if he wants to be a king. Well, you know, that's fine. That's not really hurting anything. And so they bring him back. And Pilate says again to the crowd. So we could imagine that this might have taken several hours. Well, the part of the story that we didn't hear earlier that we'll hear on Thursday and again on Friday is, you know, when they encountered Jesus and went to arrest him. But here we are the day of Jesus' crucifixion. And in a sense, it almost feels like Pilate is desperately trying to get out of making this decision. At the same time, Pilate has no connection to this man Jesus, or the challenges that the people say he is bringing to their ministry. In some sense, you might see just a tiny glimpse of empathy. He's like, well, this man hasn't done anything wrong. Why are you so angry at him? But in a sense, his whole purpose and role is to keep the peace. Now, it's interesting because the leaders, by this time, they've had enough. Jesus has been traveling around the area for 3 years, saying all kinds of things that they don't agree with. And I love how they kind of throw him under the bus and say, yeah, he even told us not to pay taxes to the emperor. But if you remember, he did not say that. Jesus said, give Caesar what is Caesar's, and the rest you give to God. So they're doing everything they can, not only for them to get out of making this decision and pressuring someone else to make this difficult decision. So we have this back and forth. And finally, Pilate says, look, everyone is so upset, you know, I will give you what you want. Now, there are a lot of people that are involved in this challenging story. We met a gentleman by the name of Simon from Cyrene. Talk about potentially being in the wrong place at the wrong time, or maybe the right place. He has to carry the cross of Jesus. Jesus is so weak and tired from the flogging that he needs help. I imagine the traveling through the city out to the place called the Skull. Some were probably crying. Some were yelling. The same people who had just yelled and celebrated his entrance into Jerusalem. My, how quickly people had changed their minds. When I was thinking about a sermon to offer you all today, this one thing kept coming up to me, and the scariness and the sadness that we experience in this story from around 2,000 years ago, a story that we are still trying to make sense of today. What they don't know is what we know about Easter. You see, they don't have the rest of the story yet. His disciples, who have run away because they were afraid of being persecuted as well, they don't know what's going to happen on the other side of his death. They don't know that on the other side of his death is this day we celebrate Easter, the resurrection. But Jesus knows. Jesus knows. And I wonder sometimes if in that knowing, so we believe in Jesus, Jesus as fully human, and Jesus as fully divine. And I wonder if that moment when he says, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing, Jesus knows what's going to happen. And yet he's having empathy for those who have just crucified him. He is feeling they don't know the mistake that they've just made. Now, my friends, we all can make bad choices. Many of us may have and may will make poor choices. And if anything, life teaches us that often there are consequences to our poor choices. And sometimes those consequences greatly impact other people, innocent people. And so we could look at our life. I don't know about you, but every now and then in the middle of the night, maybe it's a girl thing. Every now and then in the middle of the night, I'll think about that one comment I made to some kid when I was in middle school, feeling real bad about it. Gee, I wish I could take that back. Or that thing that I did that, when I was 20, and I was like, ooh, yeah, that wasn't really good, Or even five, my earliest memory of doing bad. And you're like, golly, I wish I hadn't have done that. We all make choices throughout our life, and sometimes we are allowed the privilege to look back and say, wow, I wish I hadn't done that. And I imagine, as we'll hear on Easter morning, there's a lot of people right now that are looking back on what has happened to Jesus and saying, wow, I wish I hadn't have done that. But what is his response? Forgive them. Forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. Now, the hope here is that they'll learn from their mistakes. But something tells me that we're a hard lot, sometimes making the same mistakes over and over again. But that's the good news. So while we hear this story this morning, and I was thinking, it's Sunday. How does this apply to our life? Where's the good news? They killed him. This man who was going around and loving on people and healing people and telling people good things and inviting people who were on the margins to come in and experience this love of God that they didn't know existed for them. The outcasts, the tax collectors, those who were sick. He invited them in and said, no, God's love extends to all of you as well. He started to speak to the Gentiles, the non-Jewish people, and said, God's love extends to you as well. For 3 years, he had done nothing but try to invite people into a society, into a culture where everyone belonged. And he was crucified for it. How many times, perhaps, in our life have we been part of the crowd? Maybe there have been times in our life when the crowd was much louder than we were, and we were the women who followed and cried and wailed. Or maybe when it was all said and done, we turned away from the spectacle we had just seen as they did, and we beat our breasts and we wept because we knew right away we had made the wrong decision. Jesus says, forgive them. You see, that's the good news, my friends. The good news is no matter what our life has brought our way, no matter how we have responded, whether for good or for ill, all of those times we came up short, the things that we've said, The things that we've done, the things that we wish we hadn't said, the things that we wish we hadn't done, the things that we wish we had done but didn't do. All of it. That's the good news of a life with Jesus, is on the other side of all of those mistakes is resurrection. On the other side of all of those poor choices is an opportunity to try again. An opportunity to do better. An opportunity to embrace the truth of God's love and God's forgiveness. Look, we all have our stuff. Yes? We all have our stuff, and our stuff can be big, our stuff can be small, but somewhere in there, and if you don't have stuff, then there's a name for that. You might need to go see a psychologist, because we all have stuff. If there is no guilt or sadness or like, man, I could have done better on that, that everybody has something. And that's what Jesus offers. That's what this crucifixion offers. It says it doesn't matter. Even on the other side of death, Jesus says, forgive them. Nothing we have done can take us away from the love of God. Nothing. But that doesn't mean it's free. And we'll learn about that at Easter. It doesn't mean it's free. We're called to reflect. We're called to repent. We're called to pray. We're called to try to do better. I remember I gave some advice to one of my kids, and of course, you know, anytime we speak, so people say like a sermon, if whatever the sermon is, the pastor needs to hear it too, so just so y'all know. But I told them, I said, you know, it's okay for you to say you're sorry, but doesn't mean anything if you don't try to change it, right? That was for me too. It's okay, Christy, for you to say you're sorry you did that, but are you going to stop doing that? So we do have a responsibility. There are consequences for our choices, and sometimes those consequences impact other people. And this is what we found today. The loud voices of many impacted the lives of a few, and then as they saw what had happened, again, I love this word, the spectacle before them, they turned away and they beat their breasts and they cried and they had no idea what to do, and they don't know what's about to happen. Jesus is just getting started. And so, my friends, if you find yourself in the midst of the spectacle, Jesus is just getting started. Because on the other side of that, if we turn to Jesus and we turn to God, on the other side of that is your own resurrection, your own new life, the own possibility for you to live something that you didn't even know was out there. Everything. So I invite you this week, because I do want this week to be a time of reflection. Either you can offer love and thanks to God for the times that God has used your life and created resurrection for you. You can think about maybe those times or places in your life where you wish you had said something different or not said something. Seek to make amends. You can think about those things maybe you wish you had done and didn't do. Maybe there's still an opportunity to do them. Whatever it is, big or small, Jesus invites us again and again, return to God. Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing, and we don't. I think as we get older, we figure it out a little bit better. But do we ever really have it all figured out? A couple of weeks ago, Jesus used the imagery of a hen with baby chicks. Now, y'all, I got some more baby chicks. I have chickens in my backyard. I don't think I'm supposed to have chickens. But we were down to 2 chickens. And so I went to Tractor Supply, and you have to take 4. So I had 4, and then there was another chicken that I wanted, so now I have 5. So that makes 7 chickens, which is a lot of chickens for a family of 3. It's called chicken math, right? It doesn't add up the same way. What's 1 more chicken? But they're teeny tiny, right? Little bitty. And that they don't know what to do. You put water in there, they don't know. You got to show them where the water is. There's food in there, they don't know. You got to show them where the food is. Sometimes I'm not sure they know how to go to the bathroom. They're trying to learn how to fly. They make a lot of noise. They're trying to figure out who's in charge. Just these tiny little babies. I love that Jesus uses that imagery for us. Tiny little babies have no idea what we're doing. And we have to be taught. And hopefully we grow. And hopefully we figure it out. And we're going to fall down. We're going to mess things up. We're going to peck too hard. But Jesus says, just come. Just come. So let us work on that this week. Let us work on those places we need God to forgive us, and let us work on those places we need to forgive others. Amen.